You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things U Talk football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast, coming from you live inside my car studio. This is Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports. Joining me as always is Joseph.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
All right, well, studio availability became an issue today, so we're in my car, literally, recording. So this could be interesting, it could be fun, we'll see what happens. Let's get started into our quick hitters, and as always, start with our Kuzma watch. I don't know if you've seen lately Mr. Silver Swig, but he's still, you know, rolling at that clip.
Oh, look at all those points, man.
Let's calm down on points. I mean, he's still getting... Those are minutes. Calm down. Yeah, those are minutes. So he's... Joseph's looking at the minutes column where it says 29, like, 36, 30, 24. Amazing. Yeah, it's a little bit less, but still it's impressive, right? Two,
those rebounds, I mean, granted, nice and high.
He's played against some, the two playoff teams. He got 9 and 10 points against the non-playoff teams. He's getting closer to 20 points. But nonetheless, good performances. As usual for Kyle, I'm really intrigued, like I said last time, to, you know, see what happens once he hits the post all-star rookie wall. I'm really interested to see how Donovan Mitchell does with that. Just in general, it's a subject that intrigues me. But, you know, so let's keep going down what happened in Ute Nation last week. So gymnastics finished second
they didn't win something.
Elevate the Stage meet, last Sunday, I believe it was. Granted, I have heard plenty of griping and mentions to potential beam starting value scores and a judge on the beam.
Oh yeah, I heard about
that.
The way scoring works in gymnastics is you have like a starting score,
yep,
and then you screw up and that brings the score down, yep, essentially.
Exactly.
And a lot of teams have a starting score in the 995 range or lower.
Right, and the Utes are always aiming for that 10.
And the Utes are always aiming for a 10.
Starting value.
And there's a feeling that one of the judges maybe thought that the team was lower starting value.
Yeah.
So kind of handicapped the Utes a little bit, even though they always start with really high scores and complicated routines. They just make it look so easy that it can really throw these judges off.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, so gymnastics faces Oregon State this Friday. Oregon State's a top 25 gymnastics team, and they are doing the Ute Proud for the gymnastics.
You should look them up on Twitter, their website. They're really good looking. I think they did a nice job of paying an homage to the
Ute tribe.
Yeah, and the dress that they wear when they're doing like the dance for the Ute Proud, and you know those yeah, dances. They have those cool flowing tasseled outfits, and there's kind of a obviously already tassels on it, but there's a quality to the leotards or leos as they're called that are that I think do a nice job with them.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. Either way, I'll be there, so I'll let you guys know what I think next week. But so beyond that, other hitting news. I'm jumping ahead here. On the bad news for basketball, it was just a bad weekend for basketball. In women's and men's, both games.
Goodness, because those scores were rude.
Yeah, well, obviously, we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but I did want to cover that women's basketball also lost to USC and UCLA. They had a little bit closer games than the running Utes, the men's team, but whatnot. Also, I saw breaking news. Harding did not get the Cincy O-line job, so
he was too expensive.
Apparently,
he makes a lot of money because he's an associate head coach for Coach Witt, and he was asking for more than they typically pay your starting O-line coach, and they didn't want to give it to him, so they retreaded a guy from another place. Really good news about that on the recruiting front is one of Utah's best targets still on the board is Penei Sewell, who is a magnificent four-star offensive lineman. And his relationship with Coach Harding is a big part of why the Utes are really, really in this. He's a very difficult guy to get a read on, but the Utes definitely have a shot with him. And later on, I'm going to hit on another couple of players that we thought we were out of the running for, but it's starting to look like, because of early signing day, we may be back in.
Yeah, so interesting to see what happens there in recruiting and Harding's impact overall, but he's here to stay for right now. So this is a hard subject to breach personally, but I do want to bring it up. It's, you know, not Utah news, but this is something that everyone needs to hear about, especially if you're dealing with depression or other mental illness. You know, Tyler Hilsinki, I'm sorry, I probably butchered that last name. Sorry to his family and those that is really important to you, but took his own life in a brutal way, honestly. But, you know, I don't know how much depression has impacted your life, Joseph, but I do know I have friends and my wife directly both that deal with depression. And I had a friend in high school who committed suicide as well. And so, look, depression, suicide risk, this is real stuff. It seems to really come down for people who maybe have gotten some help and changed their medication and it has a negative impact on them. I've seen people that you wouldn't even know have depression because their medication was helping them and they changed the medication and it really causes a negative impact. And I don't know if that's what I don't know a ton about Tyler's situation. All I know is that he chose the end his life, and that's it's sad. Ultimately, depression is real, people. There are, you know, look, the people around you, they do care about you. Your mind will tell you otherwise, but they do care. They do want to help you. Just to get it out there, right? Hopefully, you know, maybe all of our listeners don't need it, but maybe they know someone who could give this number. Got a couple lines that are, you know, suicide and crisis hotlines. And so there's a toll-free number that's 800-273-8255. And then, you know, here locally in Utah, Salt Lake, there's a 801-587-3000. And both of these lines, you know, can get you help. Look, people care. You know, tough things happen. Things happen that make you think like maybe life, you know, it'd be easier if life ended, but look, there's always, the sun is always going to come up. Things will get better. And, as much as, you know, we're a sports podcast, which is a much lighter topic, I did want to give, you know, take this opportunity to cover it. You know, if you need some help, there are a couple numbers that can help you immediately in that 800-273-8255 number, especially.
Yeah, I mean, I think something we deal with a lot in the sports world is this idea of being tough and being stoic and being immune to feelings. And of course, nobody actually is, but there's this value placed on people in the sports world who push their feelings down and who don't feel comfortable sharing them. And I mean, what you do in public, how people react to you is its own thing, but you've got to have somebody out there. Got to have somebody out there who you can talk to and just make sure that you take the time to talk about the stuff that you're feeling and the stuff that you're dealing with. And, you know, hang in there, because that moment that you feel like things are bad, it doesn't last forever. And it's not always going to be easy, but it does always get a little easier. And, just, you know, be careful and keep the people you love a little extra close.
Yeah. So on a lighter topic, let's talk some Utah sports. Lighter topic also because you guys know what my stance is on football recruiting, but hey, apparently some kids decided to commit to the U.
Yeah, we got some good kids. So one of them's interesting. his name just slipped my mind. I know his first name is Dante. He's a cornerback out of Blinn College. I say quarterback. He's really just sort of a general defensive back. And he had an eligibility issue. It didn't look like he was going to qualify academically right up until the last minute. Then he was able to reclassify to 2018, which means even though he's a JUCO player, he's actually four to play three. So he's got 3 years of playing eligibility left and a redshirt season left. He's almost as good as straight out of high school. And Utah has this really good tradition of hanging with players who are at academic risk and letting them work through their academic issues. And that paid huge dividends because other schools didn't even know that he was going to be eligible, didn't know that he was going to be out there, and recruiting services weren't. I don't think he was even rated by rivals because they didn't realize that he was kind of out there. It was just not a known fact except to the coaching staff. And I think they hit on a really talented player. He's got that big size and that length and that speed, and he loves to hit. He's a good pickup and sort of a sleeper. The other two kids are the Keithy twins. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. There's these two sort of homegrown country boys from Texas. They were going to go to Rice together, twins, and they were going to go to Rice together. They're real high character kids. Everybody's going to love them when they get to know them. I think from a talent perspective, they're probably a little bit underneath what Utah's been targeting, and I think that they reflect some of the surprising misses that they had in the early signing period and a couple unexpected scholarships that they thought were going to be filled that weren't filled. Which isn't to say they're bad players. And in particular, I'm interested to see, there's one of them who's a defensive end, and I think he's going to be a good player. He's at least going to be a special teams contributor, and he might actually turn into a good defensive end or possibly a middle linebacker type, depending on how he fills out. The other kid plays offense, and he's in this kind of role where it's hard to find a lot of teams that play this role, but Troy Taylor has these on the roster as a sort of scat back tight end, right? Who's like a scat fullback, I guess would be what you call it. He can line up full, he can line up at tight end, he can line up wide, he does all sorts of stuff. And this other twin is a really good fit for that. He's got nice hands. He's a physical, aggressive blocker. He's got the size that he needs to kind of lay the lumber if necessary. And I'm interested to see what he does. Troy Taylor had a lot of success with Cody Ippolito, and he had a lot of success with Jake Jackson, particularly in the red zone, particularly towards the end of the year as they started to get the offensive line blocking schemes down, and he was able to release those tight ends and fullbacks to running routes and doing other things. And so I'm interested to see how he fills that role because he could be a surprising star for the Utes. I think that is a possibility. The other thing I want to talk about in recruiting is I mentioned a couple weeks ago that because of the structure of early and late signing day, it seemed like there were players who were losing scholarships, falling through the cracks, who might kind of come falling back to Utah. And there are a couple. The first one is Solomon Ennis. He was a commit or looked like a commit to Penn State as a wide receiver, but Penn State signed four wide receivers, including three four-star wide receivers on the early signing day. Whether or not he still has a committable offer is up for debate. And then the other player is coming is this. He was a verbal commit to USC, but he never signed on early signing day. Really, really nice four-star defensive tackle. Tuli Letuligasanoa. Pretty sure I got that one.
Hey, nice work.
It's one of those mouthful Polynesian names. And Utah was always in with him. He committed to USC. He's an exceptionally talented player. And he has an official visit coming up this weekend. It's going to be interesting to see. And if he does commit to the Utes, I'm going to be really pleased with myself because the day after early signing day, I called up Alex Markham, who's the editor of Rivals, and I said, this Tuli guy, USC, I think he lost his offer. I think Utah should go after him really hard. And Alex said, no way. He's such a good player. There's no way that happened. Well, here he is. So if he winds up with the Utes, I called it. All right.
Well, outside of Harding and recruiting talk, you know, the off season continues in regards to football. I mean, people like Joseph just making it through, but there are people like me who enjoy watching some basketball.
I like basketball. I have an appreciation for the, is the beautiful game basketball or soccer?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, it's good.
Soccer's got too much acting in it for me. But so let's talk about the running Utes. And ultimately, it's been too long. I mean, the roller coaster has been one crazy ride. And, you know, it started, we chinked up, rattling along on the roller coaster up to the top. And we're feeling good after an Oregon State sweep, road sweep. And, oh, how things have come down. Especially, Arizona State's not looking as good right now. So that loss isn't looking as pretty. Arizona remains that it is.
Really should have won the Sun Devils game.
That was rough. I mean, and then the UCLA, USC is a... It was a rough weekend, and I hate having kind of, you said, hey, if that player comes to Utah, you're going to be tooting your horn. Well, last week, what did we talk about? I made sure and mentioned how many points the running or just shot opportunities the running Utes were giving their opponents versus their own. And at that point, it was about 10 points per game or five shots per 10 shots. Gosh, now I'm all mixed up. Either way, they were giving, I think it was totaling to 5 points per game. They were giving in just extra possessions, so it was about 10 shots per game. And here we are, and you look back at the USC-UCLA games, and they gave up a lot more shot opportunities to those opponents, and that's ultimately why they got caved. They got killed. I mean, another part of it is the fact that, tough part, at least in the UCLA game to some extent for me, was it felt like the Utes were getting good shots and then they were missing. And then shots that they were, you would like, but they were missing. And the coaches talked to this. And then, UCLA would come down and just make a shot. Like, UCLA could not miss. So as much as that game, but the USC game was, I don't know. It has been a crazy roller coaster ride. And something I've thought that has been interesting was that, Larry Kruskoviak in his presser brought up four straight Sunday games. And Coach Connor on the coach's show brought up four straight Sunday games. And it's interesting. So according to Coach Connor, they lose a practice, they lose the skill development, they lose the film study, and they also lose a day off. That is Sunday. And it's interesting from my perspective as someone who doesn't really do sports on Sunday himself and takes that day off, that Larry Kruskoviak was like, hey, there's something to be said about having that day off. It's important. And especially practice rules with games being a certain proximity to each other, you're not allowed to practice. So how detrimental is this, the Sunday thing to the Utes? According to coaches, it's pretty detrimental. I don't know what you think.
I mean, I get days off are important. And I think especially in a sport like basketball, which is such an emphasis on endurance and on your legs and things like that, it's really easy to lose just a little bit and suddenly you're not putting the same power behind your shots and you're not running as fast and you're not getting back on defense. And those kinds of things can be really small and add up to a lot of points. But how many points do they add up to a game? I mean, you miss a day off, maybe that costs you 5 points.
Yeah, but hold on. But the Utes are getting killed on the offensive boards, for example. And there's your legs right there.
Yeah, but they got destroyed. I mean, so you say you give them 5 points and they still lose by 15 to these two LA teams. I think that there's a lot to be said for just home and road. I think that has a lot to do with it. And Utah historically has really struggled as a road team. And that's what part of why we were so shocked and kind of heartened when they knocked off Oregon on the road. It was really exciting. But now they're kind of going back to their old ways. And I was all set to sort of adjust my expectations upward with as close as the Arizona game wound up being, as close as the Arizona State game wound up being. But, man, I should have been a little more conservative with my expectations because they've basically been – in terms of wins and losses, almost exactly what we expected.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, look, this team is a peak four team in the Pac-12. I don't think they go below seven, but unfortunately, they might. I mean, they're just not proving it. I mean, here we go. We've got tomorrow they play Washington, and then the fourth Sunday game at against Washington State. So we'll see how long this continues. I mean, we're looking at another Sunday loss easy because it's a Sunday game. I mean, the way the coaches have kind of played that up has me concerned at least. But the Sunday games kind of go away after that. You know, there's a lot. I think there's like one more left after this season. But I'm intrigued, right? So we've got the home later in February. I feel we'll get the correction, right? We're almost through January. February, we get the USC, UCLA teams at home.
And I think you touched at least one of those, if not both of them.
I mean, it'll be interesting. Ultimately, I guess I didn't raise my expectations like yourself. I just don't. One thing I do want to touch on, and I don't know how much you looked into this, but so the Big 12 has a lot of ranked teams. They've got some really good basketball going down in the Big 12, and it's fun to watch. You should watch it. But what has seemed to be a recurring thing for me is that Big 12 plays, you know, Saturdays, Fridays, and then they play Mondays and Tuesdays.
Interesting.
And they get all this TV coverage because they're the main, I mean, one, the Big 12's good, but when you get those Monday, Tuesday games, like, ESPN needs games to go in there, and they get the Big 12 teams, and they're getting a lot of publicity. And for all the hate that the Pac-12 seems to get, I wonder if we'd altered if the Utes or the Pac-12 in general would alter the schedule to have an early week game instead of the Sunday thing, do a Monday, Tuesday, whatnot, and then have a late week game like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday or something. Instead of just be huddling right around that weekend stuff. I mean, they already have some Wednesday games, they have Thursday games, but why not do an early week, late week game? And maybe it gets a little bit more publicity. Maybe it allows for better practices, film study, rest. I don't know. As I go through watching this basketball season and I end up going to ESPN or wherever the college games are, and next you know what, it's another ranked, top 25 ranked Big 12 team, and I see what days they're playing on. It just makes me wonder if the Pac-12 is missing out on something in regards to scheduling.
I think there's a theme of it's true that the Pac-12 has some structural disadvantages in terms of marketing as compared to the Big 12 or any of the East Coast. And that goes for basketball and football both. Like there's a few less fans. They're less energetic. It's not must-see TV, appointment television, the way it is in other parts of the country. So the ratings are a little bit lower. And all of that stuff you can't really change. But I feel like there's almost this kind of throwing up of the hands from the Pac-12 administration and say, well, we're always going to be a little bit behind them, and that's okay, rather than trying to maximize the resources that they have and do what they have to do to get as close as they can to that level. There's no reason that the football team should still be playing a 9-game schedule. There's no reason that they shouldn't renegotiate the contracts so that I'm not washing NAS trucks for an hour and a half when I should be watching youth football.
Yeah.
There's no reason that they shouldn't be competitive with other conferences in terms of when they play the games and how they market the games. And none of that stuff is happening. there's no reason that they shouldn't be bringing in somebody to totally overhaul officiating in basketball and football. And some of that may just be sort of the power of perception, and people think it's bad, so they look at the bad stuff and confirmation bias. But regardless, that's the perception, and you have to do something to at least correct the perception, whether or not you think the reality is a problem. And I happen to think the reality is a big problem, both in basketball and football.
Well, and it just seems like they're not doing anything. I mean, we're listening. Just, we're back to the Pac-12 conference. Right? We've got the Pac-12 networks, which is still not on DirecTV. They've got the regional mess with Dish Network in that they only show the national stream. The only way you can access their regional networks is if you go on an app device. And now we've got all the scheduling stuff. We got the late night games, so teams aren't getting seen. And then, of course, the debacle that is officiating, whether everyone over exaggerates hashtag Pac-12 refs or not, like you said, it's there, and they're not doing anything. And it just, I mean, at least they're not doing anything, and that's public enough for me to notice it.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is they, one, they need to fix the officiating, and two, they need to find a way to have people believe that they have fixed the officiating. Both of those things have to happen, and as far as I can tell, they're not doing either one.
No.
And I think that lack of leadership is pervasive throughout the conference, throughout all the different sports. There was an article that came out a few months ago where they're airing Olympic sports on Pac-12 networks that literally no one in the entire country watched. Zero ratings. They could not find people that would watch these things. Instead of running, you know, something else, anything else that people would actually watch. And it's just not, the conference is not being managed well right now. And it's not that it's up to me, but if it were up to me, I think I'd probably make some changes at the upper levels of management of the conference and see if we can't do a little better.
Well, I mean, I will say this all the time. Einstein's definition of crazy, our insanity, is doing the same thing, expecting different results. Well, not to call out Mr. Scott, but he's been in there for a while, it's and time. He's doing the same thing, and there's not been any different results.
He's a professional. He's so, his job.
Yeah. So, I mean, time is coming. Well,
speaking of the time being up, our time is up. Look at that. Look what I just did. That was.
Look at that transition, but you missed a critical part.
Algorithm.
Hey.
Rate
people,
us.
Give us some reviews. We just need some reviews. It. We need to know what we're doing. We need you to contact us. Let us know what you'd see, especially through the off season. If there's something you'd like to hear us cover, we're all for it. So contact us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast, Gmail, utetalk@gmail.com. And of course you can reach out to Joseph and I directly. But until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.